Hey everyone, welcome. It's a very historic Stunt Granny Audio 300. So historic, in fact, that I actually had to watch wrestling this week. And a bonus segment, I watched the E60 on ESPN, and so did my co-host, Mr. Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Well, yeah, I watched most of it. I was a little delayed in getting to it. Things have not exactly run smoothly in the DeFrango household today. At either of our jobs for a couple of big reasons.
Oh, should I not hit record yet?
No, it's not that big a deal.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, shit. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We got to go.
Off theirs.
Well, anyways, you didn't finish E60 before we started.
No.
But let's just talk, since it's fresh, let's just talk about it. I mean, for, you know, as much as we can, and I won't give any spoilers away, but it's kind of hard to have spoilers on something that's 2 years old, that starts 2 years ago, and then ends, I think, before WrestleMania last year. Way before last year's WrestleMania, actually, I should say. I don't know, what'd you think? These ESPN pieces can be either hatchet pieces, or they can be fluff pieces. And
well, it's definitely like, I was sitting there going, oh, I understand why these guys, what some of the wrestlers saw in these characters. Like, some of the characters that I've seen on TV have not been as good as how their charisma showed just in this explaining kind of who they were and where they were from. To me, like, Xavier Woods, he was a guy, to me, that seemed a lot more comfortable in that setting than he does just in the regular WWE setting for whatever reason.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking at something with the audio. Okay, I think that's better. that was one of the things I noticed right away. They were I think it was it Vince or Triple H that mentioned, you know, something that works down. Well, actually, Brian James brought it up with Xavier Woods, but it was, you know, the characters killing it down in NXT, but that may not translate to Monday Night Raw's audience. And I just kept bitching the whole time because of how they destroyed Adam Rose within 2 weeks of him coming up to WWE.
Right.
And unfortunately, you didn't get to this part, but they do show the debut of Adam Rose, which I had never seen before.
Oh, okay.
And it actually makes it even more infuriating now to see what happened between him being in NXT and then the 2 week run where they just botched the whole thing.
That's too bad. Because he was another one, since his story was on first, I maybe could have mentioned him. Like, he was another guy. I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, now I get it. Like, that Adam Rose character, I understand the fun, but that is one note a character as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stardust has more latitude than that thing.
The Adam Rose thing made sense to me, especially when they kept calling Leo Kruger, and I'm like, who the hell's Leo Kruger? I didn't remember that. NXT was before NXT was on the network. So it wasn't as readily available. You had to find bootlegs of it on YouTube. And, you know, like we've discussed before, there's so many hours of programming. And this is when TNA was still sort of relevant. So that it made going and watching NXT, you know, even, it made it a chore, really. Now it's pretty fun to watch. I mean, when you excise everything else. Wow, I just totally went blank. It's going to be a historic show, that's for sure. if this shit's happening 5 minutes into the show. Back
waiting for some larger point there.
Nope.
I did not expect to carry the ball quite yet.
It was a coming, and it flew on by. So I don't even know where I started.
Well, I took off. I think you took off of. Well, not knowing who the hell Leo Kruger is, and the transition to Adam Rose.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when they started, when they started the show, I just kept thinking, "Who the hell's Leo Kruger? It's Adam Rose. Like, what are you doing?" And you know, and then I liked the little journey it took us on. I thought it was weird. It started 2 years ago, but I guess they needed a larger time frame to follow certain guys around. You know, instead of just a year, because like especially with Corey Graves, at least. Well, Corey Graves really didn't need it. They could have just told his story from the point of view of a guy that couldn't do it anymore. The real emotional spectrum was run with Adam Rose in this, whose real name I forget already.
Ray LaPone.
That's it. Okay, when the show first started, he was talking, and I paused it, and I turned to Elise and said, he doesn't have an accent. I mean, I guess it's very naive, but usually they don't cast somebody to have an... I mean, the guys who have accents have accents. The guys who don't, well, they just don't. So it was very strange to hear him talking without it. But then they said he was from South Africa, and you could start to hear subtle hints of it here and there when he's talking. But when it comes down to him turning into Adam Rose, it's pretty fun. The thing with his kid, having his intestines and all that born outside of him, there's no way you can root against Adam Rose now. I mean,
you're just like I cannot be a dick to this guy anymore. Like. To have to go through with that. I mean, the fact that they said that the kid has already outlived what they thought he was going to live is just like, oh, man.
Yes.
Come on, this can still end poorly.
Okay. This clearly shows I'm not a doctor. They said it was born outside of his body. And for any people who haven't watched this, I guess spoilers, but tough shit. They said his intestines and stomach were born outside his body, and then he was born. I was naive enough to go, well, couldn't they just perform surgery and kind of just push it back in? I mean,
I was thinking the same thing.
I mean, they can turn a dick and make it a vagina by now. You can't just throw a stomach. You got to figure his intestines and stomach got to be like this big, maybe.
Right.
You can't just, you know, give a little poke there. But... when they showed him feeding him through a tube, I'm like, oh, no. And then they said he was 35 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess I keep having these thoughts that these guys are young. Like, Kevin Owen, Sami Zayn, all those guys are in their 30s already. You're not getting these guys coming up that are only in their 20s, I guess. Or they're getting them when they're 20.
Yeah, I mean, they've had Xavier Woods, because that was another thing that they had mentioned, and I honestly, he had been gone for so long that I had forgotten about the Consequences Creed guy.
Yep, Consequences Creed and TNA, which that never got a mention, which is fine. What was his name, Xavier Shango?
Yes.
That couldn't have been any more indie. Then, okay. This actually brings me to this. What was with him having a Ninja Turtle backpack and the games and Pogs and everything? What did that have to do with anything? Was that supposed to be part of his character in NXT, or was that just something he carries around? Because they kept making the point of him being going for his PhD.
Well, I think he does that stuff. To be honest with you, because I remember him Like, I think that's just his personality. He went to the 16-bit bar and arcade here in town. So I think he likes that, because they were talking about his 90s culture
That's right.
shtick. And I mean, when he posted that picture, it was their most recent time that they were in town. So, like, just a couple of months ago. So he was already doing the Xavier Woods in New Day act when they came through. So, I mean, he wasn't falling through on his act. I just think that he genuinely likes that stuff that much.
Could you?
And yeah, I think that weirdo has a Ninja Turtle backpack and pogs in the Ninja Turtle backpack.
Right, the Ninja Turtle backpack I'll excuse because that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
But
it
then,
did look like a really nice shell, actually.
yeah, but could you imagine you're at a party and some asshole comes in and goes, "Hey, you guys want to play Pogs?" Like, what? What the hell's a Pog? Those were big in what, the 60s? They brought them back for like a blink and you miss it moment in the 90s.
Right, yeah, when the card collecting craze was hitting its height, Pogs made a comeback.
But those lasted for, I remember at the comic shop we sold them. And then they just died. And so we were
Right.
left with all these packs of Pogs. Like, oh my God. But yeah, and that was God, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, I worked there, and I just can't imagine a grown-ass man who's got a master's and he's going for his PhD. Have you ever played Pogs? I don't even know what you're
Yeah.
supposed to do.
I don't get it either.
Okay.
I've kind of gotten myself out of that whole collection thing altogether.
Yeah, I'm trying.
I mean, I know that there's some stuff, like anything that Ken gives me as a present, I end up keeping. He's the reason I have a 2 foot tall Rey Mysterio doll.
Oh no. Well, see when it comes to stuff like that though, like I'm trying to cut back on comics. That's been a bigger like I don't have substance abuse problems, but when it comes to like comics, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna stop after this arc because, it's not that good. And then you see like a preview of what's coming up like later on the I'm like, ah, I gotta stick with it, so I have the whole story. It's like they just sucker you in. And it's just it yeah, but that's really it. And I collect all the Walking Dead figures still because I'm an asshole. So, but those are cool. They're not like the old stuff, but whatever.
Totally gonna be worth money someday.
Yeah, the mass-produced stuff, which I liked that as a kid. Whenever you were buying baseball cards and all that stuff, that was like the absolute worst time in history to buy baseball cards, because that was
Oh, the boom.
the largest time for mass production of cards and all that stuff. No one explained to you that it needs to be rare.
Right.
Like buying 500 copies of The Death of Superman. Well, not that I did that, mind you, but just knowing people did, bought like hundreds of copies of it, thinking it was going to be worth money. But yeah, anyways. But yeah, so that just struck me as weird. I didn't think.
Yeah, I like I said, I just genuinely think that's him.
I didn't think his story needed to be told outside of like the PhD thing. He didn't have an interesting run. Because even when they went into the production meeting, they were already saying, "Oh no, he's not a fish or cut bait." And Triple H goes, "No, he'll be up on the roster within 2 months."
Right.
So I was like, "There's no struggle there." Like,
No. He did not have, but again, you said it though. They love to put that whole PhD thing out there. And especially for the time period when this was being recorded, then that was his gimmick to start with. I mean, it's not like he was doing New Day when they recorded this.
true, because
So.
they did show his debut with R-Truth.
Oh,
And
okay.
did you get to that part yet?
No.
Oh, okay, they do show his debut with R-Truth, and I just went, oh boy, it's this. And it wasn't as bad as I remembered because, like, you know, they edited it up pretty good. But you see Jinder Mahal in the background. And that was another fun game to play. While you're watching, just go through and go fired, cut, cut of all the people who are no longer with this company. And not a fun game for them, but seeing a skinny Bo Dallas was a surprise, or skinnier Bo Dallas, I should say.
Yeah, that I guess that's what I noticed more. Like, I didn't pay attention to the people that were canned so much as notice the people that are still around.
Well, they do say at the end, 21 people from NXT have made it to the main roster. Whether or not that means they made it, that's two totally different things. But, you know,
Yeah.
I guess that's their way of saying that, hey, this is working out.
Oh.
Which is kind of a misnomer because all the guys who have come up were in the indies first. ROH, you know, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla traveled around.
Yeah, well, and that's why a lot of them are of an older age.
Yeah, well, yes, that's true.
You know, and I think it was either you or Chris and I just mentioned where they haven't had a true talent come through NXT yet. Everything's been, even though they've changed the characters for the people that are more entrenched, you kind of knew what you were working with, and they've definitely molded it from the character that they've been on the indies.
Yeah. Well, what about Rusev? I think he'd be the only one. Because in my limited research on him, trying to find out about him and Lana, he came over here and was almost immediately signed with NXT, if I remember right. Let me check to make sure. But it still goes to your point, though, that there's not a lot of
Yeah, so 21 people might have made it, but you know, they still haven't made that much of an impression, in my opinion.
Yep. Let's see.
So yeah, they
Well,
might have come up with the Rusev character, and I do believe you're right. I kind of looked at
okay. Well, so, well, all
his
right.
bio last week.
He doesn't have a long history in indies. It was only from 2008 to 2010. He signed with WWE Developmental in 2010. So, you know, he was with New Wave Pro Wrestling. This is all off Wikipedia, so it could be wrong. New Wave Pro Wrestling. And then what's VPW? Vendetta Pro Wrestling, and then he signed in 2010 with WWE. So he was with FCW. Is how far back it dates. So I mean, in a way, it kind of fits that they molded their own, but at the same time, it's still another guy that did have indie experience, even limited. That they brought
Right.
in. So, I mean, that'll be the real test. They're gonna have to find somebody. Anybody, really. I was trying to figure out if.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there are very few people, and I mean, feel like we've kind of broached this subject, that there aren't that many people in Ring of Honor that they're going to want to poach. I mean, Triple H has already said that they don't plan on doing anything with anybody from TNA. And I don't blame them.
Well,
And ROH, really, it's kind of limited. Maybe Adam Cole. I think the Briscoes just re-upped with Ring of Honor, so they're probably out of the conversation once and for all.
yeah.
And I'm trying to think of who else they'd want to bring in. But I mean, there really aren't that many people in ROH. So I mean, they're going to need some play. You know, I mean, they're going to need to do that at some juncture, or else there's going to be a problem.
Yeah, and I was just looking up Magnus. I still have hope that he'll get out of TNA and go to WWE where he belongs. But I haven't seen Magnus wrestle in TNA since I stopped watching. So I don't know if he's any good or not. But yeah, but you're right. Yeah, I not to gloss over what you said. There's got to be one person. I mean, just one Because Luke, I mean, Luke Harper, you know, obviously isn't one. Bray Wyatt's not one. Although, I don't know who Eric Rowan pissed off, because I don't remember the last time he's been on TV.
Yeah, he didn't. I mean, I feel bad for Luke Harper because he pretty much jobs all the time.
But at least he got, I was about to say he got on a pay-per-view, but I don't know money-wise if that matters anymore for him.
Yeah, well, he's on TV still, on the regular.
Yeah.
So, you know, they at least have a little more faith in him.
Yeah, well, they should have, oh, never mind. I was just going to say, they should have a lot more faith in him, but whatever. Complaining about who or who doesn't get pushed in wrestling anymore is kind of stupid. All we're doing is aggravating ourselves, really. So.
Oh. I think that's why they're really, at least on this show, none of us really got all that wound up about the whole Roman Reigns thing.
Did you happen to watch the Roman Reigns 24/7?
Well, and that's kind of, you know, probably a running theme here, too. I didn't watch that, but it was something else that it made me want to watch that rather than WWE TV.
I watched it over dinner today because I had nothing else going on. I was waiting for my wrap. It wasn't horrible. And I'm not going to say, like, it didn't make me see Roman Reigns in a different light, you know, because that's... But, not like I ever hated Roman Reigns to begin with, but it gave you a little bit of insight. There's a great moment at the end, because his mom was in the front row for the main event at WrestleMania. And when Seth Rollins' music comes out, and he comes out and he pins Roman Reigns, she does like the ultimate mom thing, just like waving her arms, like it was really funny. But they did a really good job of humanizing him, and I know that they go for characters in WWE, but the story of Roman Reigns, it had some, you know, pretty poignant moments. I never did watch the Usos one. I wish I would have before this. But then even going back to this E60, they had a very humanizing moment about Adam Rose and like his trials and tribulations, especially with his family and his kid and all that. And I know they want to keep, you know, make these characters. But, you know, they always say the best characters are just their personalities ramped to 10. Well, you can kind of mine this stuff. And not that everyone's going to have to, you know, have the same backstory. I'm just working for my family, because we've all seen where that goes on TV most of the time. But I wish they would do more of these, like, series leading up to, you know, pay-per-views. Or can we even call those pay-per-views anymore?
I guess because it's the own. Well, we are paying for it monthly, but it does include a whole lot more content than just the pay-per-view does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we can call them pay-per-views because not jumping subject, which we can get to this in a second, but there's still morons out there buying these things. So I guess technically they are pay-per-views. But on the network, you just get them. You don't have to. You just get it free. But, well, not free. Well, no, unless you're a new subscriber. And
oh my gosh!
But anyways, we'll get to the network stuff in a second. I have that one written down actually.
Okay. Well, I thought that was your brilliant way to segue.
You know what? We're done with the other stuff. Let's just talk about that, the free subscriber thing.
Now, April was free, right? Like, I'm not imagining
yes.
that.
Yes, it was.
I mean,
wasn't February free as well?
I thought it was January for the Royal Rumble, so that you could kind of see the road to WrestleMania start.
Tell me, say.
So, I'm pretty sure it was January. It's that, and I honestly thought it would be once every couple of months. But it's not, like, that is entirely too often to do it back to back months.
Let's see.
You know?
Yes.
Huh?
No, I was agreeing with you, yeah. I mean,
it's three times within 5 months. So, like, whether it's January or February, it's still three times in a 5 month period.
Don't forget, it was also free in November of 2014 as well. So, let's see. So in November, you got Survivor Series free. And I can't find the other one. So it's either January or February, but yeah. But then April and now May. Now look, I turned to Elise last night, and I'm like, why the hell am I paying for this thing? Like, I understand you probably have to put your billing information in to verify that you're a new customer.
Oh, right.
But I can just tell my brother, hey, sign up, I'll tell you when the close out. I can tell my parents, hey, sign up, I'll tell you when to close out, and just sign in with their stuff. I mean, I know that they're trying to get subscribers because they fudged the numbers to make it look like their initial subscriber base was over 1 million, you know, after it failed the first time. But
right.
You're going to piss off the people eventually that are, I mean, even though we've said clearly in the past, it's still a bargain just for the pay-per-view price.
Right.
It's still annoying. Netflix doesn't give out anything for free. Well, no, they do a free trial, and then that's it.
Oh. Yeah. That is the other thing. Like, it doesn't get thrown out like candy everywhere else. Yeah. Like, if this was a precedent with Netflix or something, it'd be like, oh, okay, I understand. But it's not.
No, you get your initial... Not like 30-day free trial with Netflix, and then the rest of the time it's $9.99.
And I mean, I feel like the WWE has done a good job, and I mean, Chris and I started on this topic last week too, that they've started to put content on there that you want to watch, like that whole Legends that, you know, really just not that interested. But doing, like, the interviews after Raw with big names, with Austin and Jericho, you know, those work really well. They've done good. If nothing else, if you just watch the NXT kind of pay-per-view type events, TakeOver, actually that's what it is, the NXT TakeOvers.
Yep.
Like, even if you don't watch NXT on the regular, like, just the TakeOvers, you know, are kind of good to watch. Not kind of, they're good to watch. So, I mean, they're really starting to give you just content that's on there. And I guess I don't understand how you haven't convinced people that it's worth it at this point either. Like, there's a lot of, you know, your own content on there that isn't Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah. Well, when the network first started, they had the Raw pregame, SmackDown pregame, you know, Raw after show, SmackDown after show, and in typical WWE fashion, they gave up on it after a month. Now, whether it was production cost, lack of interest, whatever, that's exactly what the network should be used for.
Oh.
You know, but I guess when you're writing stuff on the fly... I guess it would be kind of hard to have a pregame when everything you just talked about they could change while you're talking about it. But there's still effective ways of using it. I mean, they went from inside the arena to inside the production truck, and then it just disappeared with absolutely no explanation whatsoever. And then, like,
they might have just downgraded to the post-show stuff. But I mean, yeah, that's something that everyone does. Like, I'm not a fan of that, but if there are that many people that watch it, that, you know, Fox Football does it, you know, whoever carries baseball does it. Like, every sport has, like, a post-show kind of wrap-up. You know, it only makes sense to have something like that. Well, and that there are going to be some segment of the wrestling fans that will be interested in it.
Yeah, and also, and like you said, sports, so obviously the argument would be, well, this isn't sports, it's sports entertainment. Well, have you ever heard of Talking Dead? That's a talk show based off of a TV show that just aired. And it does, you know, maybe it just leeches off Walking Dead, obviously, but it still does pretty good ratings for AMC. And it gives fans what they want, a chance to see other people talk about what they just saw. And in the environment of WWE, that's easy to do. You've got Corey Graves, you've got Renee Young. I mean, you could even stop Cole and JBL after the show, which would be a little taxing after they've been out there for 3 hours. Well, Cole,
well,
maybe. JBL and Booker, they're probably fresh as a daisy because they don't do shit on that show. So,
well, and I think that that was at least part of their problem is that they tried to have a rotating cast there. And it's one of the few things I don't like about NXT is the rotating announcers, although there's been less rotating announcer since Alex Riley hasn't been around.
Mm-hmm.
But they had too many people coming through, I guess. Like, instead of just having a regular cast, like, it's JB and Howie and Kurt and whoever the shit else for... that's the only one I honestly can think of, Fox's football team. I'm sure that there are other people on it.
How
but,
dare you? Bill Cowher is on CBS. The man who made your Pittsburgh Steelers what they are today, and you so callously toss him to the wayside like that? You are ungrateful.
Yep. He has rooted for the Carolina Hurricanes one too many times the Pittsburgh Penguins have been in town. He has been disowned officially.
Those pre-show and after-show things are so popular that networks that don't even carry the sport have them. ESPN has Sunday Countdown, and they don't even show a game on Sunday. They have game previews when they're not going to show a game at all. So that just shows you the popularity of some of these shows, or at least the concept. And I know the NFL is a totally different animal than WWE.
Right. Well, and I guess my point was they didn't stick to a cast. Like, I think it helps to kind of get people in defined roles and to just have them play, you know, to play those and, you know, go forward. Because all of those shows kind of have that setup. They might add someone here and there every season, but for the most part, they kind of have their standards and they just keep going back to it.
Yeah. I think all of them now. Well, except CBS got rid of, was it Terrell Davis? I think it was Terrell Davis they got rid of. Not Terrell Davis. Who's the...
Shannon Sharp?
No. Who's his brother?
Sterling Sharp?
Yeah, they were Sterling Sharp. Right? He was the guy that played tight end, right?
No, Shannon Sharp was the tight end. Sterling Sharp was the wide receiver for today.
Then, yeah, you were correct first time. Shannon Sharp. Yeah, they got rid of him.
Okay.
It didn't really add anything. And trust me, we're the only reason we're even talking about this is because of the fact that, you know, it's something they could do on the network, and that really would enhance the show, because none of these shows are worth a damn. I mean, these sports shows don't give you anything. Like, you know when you're playing, and it's called the internet, so you can just go find facts whenever you want. But just with the programming stuff for WWE, like, they have matches and you never hear from the people. Like, Rusev beat the bejesus out of Fandango this week, And you never heard Rusev say anything about whipping Fandango's ass for hitting on his girl, you know?
Right.
Or Rusev's reaction after Lana gave in and started doing the Fandango dance. You know, that's what these pre-shows would be good for, even though I know that they probably want you to tune into SmackDown or tune into Superstars to find out the reactions. Well, they replay stuff how often on these shows?
Oh.
And wouldn't that be a good ad for the network? This originally aired on the network.
Yeah.
But...
Well, and then that is kind of the other funny thing, is that most of the stuff that's worth watching on the network ends up at least getting some airtime on their regular TV shows. Just like, again, like, I get that you're trying to get people to sign up and you need to have a little bait in the water pretty much at all times. But it seems like they have too much bait in the water most of the time, including free months back to back.
Yeah, and let's see, what, November, I'm using my fingers here, November, December, January, what's after January, oh yeah, February, March, April, May, 3 out of 5 months, yeah, oh no, 4 out of 5 months, because it was November, then January, November, January, February, and then these two, so 4 out of 5 months has been free?
I think it's 4 and 6.
Okay, all right, so yeah.
December, February,
April, and May.
Hold on. March? No, WrestleMania wasn't free.
No, I don't believe so. No.
So yeah, but then April, May.
Yeah. But yeah, and the real to go back to the WrestleMania or the pay-per-view thing, I was referring to, and Kevin already knows, just to make it clear. The WWE made $9 million off of pay-per-view revenue over, what, since January?
Yeah, it's just been the course of this year.
And that includes the free months. So what we just talked about, 3 out of the 5 months of this year are free.
Right.
And really, 3 out of 4 so far, because, you know, May just started. People, you couldn't see me. People bought the pay-per-views for $50 or $60, in WrestleMania's case, $70 a pop, when all they had to do was go on the internet and sign up and watch for free.
Or $10.
Yeah, at the very least, $10. You know. Somebody, one of the suits for WWE, maybe that's why they consistently say it's on pay-per-view. You know, as much as they want those network subscribers, there's another guy that's going, no, 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 guys, we can't stop promoting the fact that they're pay-per-views, because there are enough dummies, that will pay $70 for this. So we're getting free money out of this. Hey, I would promote the pay-per-views like crazy. Why not? Hey, WWE Network, you get free pay-per-views. Speaking of pay-per-view, call your local provider. Don't turn this into a Mayweather-Pacquiao sort of situation. Order your pay-per-view today. You know? I mean...
Right.
Get them on the hook.
Yeah, I that's just incredible, because if the WWE didn't advertise the network... And it was some secret underground thing. Okay, I understand why you're paying for a pay-per-view thing. Mm-hmm. But they advertise it on all their programming, including... Because they welcome all the network subscribers. So, like, the people that are ordering these pay-per-views have to know of its own existence and its price.
It's actually more work to order a pay-per-view than to just buy the network, put it on, like, your credit card, and forget it. I mean, I know we had this conversation on Messenger, but it's just like... I guess never underestimate the stupidity of people, or laziness, one of the two.
Yeah, I don't quite get what it is. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, there's not an angle that I can come at it and go, oh, okay, I can understand that. Again, a bunch of months have been free, and you can shut down your subscription after a month.
Yeah, because even if you're not interested in... it's Payback? Is that this one?
Sure.
Yeah, it's Payback. So if you're not interested in Payback, even though it's free, mind you, but you're not interested in Payback and you actually pay for the network, okay? You can cancel the network for this month, wait until SummerSlam rolls around, sign back up for $9, or just reactivate your account, and boom, there you go. And then once SummerSlam's over, just deactivate your account again and wait for Survivor Series, you know, if you want to do it that way. Regardless of any of that, it's still cheaper for buying those four pay-per-views. Well, except for buying the network for those 4 months, that is cheaper than buying one pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, it really goes back to that basic math that we did when they announced the network itself. You know, it's $10 per month, so $120. That is. If you pay for WrestleMania, it's just over 2 pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, I'll go back. Like, I didn't really order that many pay-per-views in the recent years. Like, they did not talk me into too many pay-per-views. No. But I always consistently got Royal Rumble and WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I get the odd SummerSlam here and there. But I pretty much gave up on Survivor Series totally.
Yes, SummerSlam's the last. It's really kind of the big three.
Yeah.
At this point, Survivor Series is. They try to play up the history because it is there, but they don't pay as much attention to it.
I like when they say traditional. We're gonna have our traditional Survivor Series match. Why? There's almost never stakes to it, but. And I know there are here and there, but still.
Yeah, and considering that the stakes were gigantic for...
Yeah, for for a week. No, 2 weeks.
Yeah, it got ruined a month and a half later.
Yeah.
But was inevitable in that entire month and a half that it was going on.
Honestly, that angle, and I don't know why we're talking about something from December, but we are... that angle, when he said bring back the authority, that did take me by surprise, because I really thought, and I'm actually going to tie this into current events, I really thought that they were just going to give it a go and not have him around. We're going to suffer the ratings, we're going to suffer this, and just go through it. Instead, they brought him back. So you're like, well, we had our shot at something different and something newer, whatever. Now, fast forward to WrestleMania, Seth Rollins wins the title. That first Raw after WrestleMania was pretty good. They got Brock out of the way. You know, Seth was the man. And now it's just back to the same old, same old. Like, having Seth as the champion hasn't changed the dynamic of the show at all. And I honestly... We had that convo about how we didn't need to watch any of the weekly programming to understand what's going on.
Right.
I haven't watched until yesterday. Just to make sure, you know, while we were talking today, that we were up to snuff. I was up to snuff on everything. I still read to see what was going on. I didn't go like the whole plan, like just not pay attention at all. I didn't need to see any of the other stuff. They just kind of proved... I mean, I know it wasn't the pay-per-view, but they kind of proved the point we were making. I didn't miss one thing not watching for the last 2-3 weeks, whatever it's been. I mean, not SmackDown, didn't watch the network, didn't watch Raw, none of it.
Well...
It helped hockey was on, too, of course. So.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that happened for me, and I don't know why, I actually, last week, my DVR didn't start taping Raw, so I missed the first hour. This week, I was trying to get something else watched, and I had actually reset the DVR last week to record Raw, and it didn't again this week. So it was 9:30. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm just watching from here. And honestly, I was caught up on all the major storylines by the end of the show. Yeah, again, because of the replays, I'm just like, oh, okay, that's why we have the main event that we have. That was something that I missed that was worth watching. But, you know, I saw it now, so everything's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even in the hour and a half that I watched, just like, oh, okay, an hour and a half of TV.
Yeah. And it's not even, oh, gosh, that's right, you said 9:30. I was like, you only missed a half hour. I forgot these are still the starts at 8 Eastern.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, it's exactly what we talked about in that conversation. 8 o'clock gets replayed at 8:50 or 9:10 just to keep you informed. And really, what's the point? I mean, Kane comes, Orton and Reigns have their thing. They lose the New Day. Okay, that's kind of a big deal. But then they replay, like, Kane does this, and this happens, and this happens, and it's an exhaustive thing to try and get through. And totally unnecessary. That's the only word I can just keep coming back to, is it's not necessary to watch the show every week.
Right.
And I thought of this today. The Kane role should be played by somebody else. And again, it's no disrespect for Kane, because he's had an incredible career of maybe not being relevant. Being relevant's not the right word, but being in the mix all the time. This Kane angle would be so much more effective with somebody young, or younger, or newer on the roster, like how they built up Batista way back when. You know, Triple H and Ric Flair were talking behind his back and all that.
Right.
Because what's the payoff to this? Kane finally does enough to where the Authority kicks him out, so we're supposed to get a big push with Kane versus Seth Rollins? That doesn't exactly light the world on fire. And really, it seems like this was the plan from last year with Daniel Bryan and Kane.
Oh.
I mean, Daniel Bryan wins the title, his first feud's Kane. Seth Rollins wins the title. All right, they're poking him in with Randy Orton. But most of his time, he's bitching at Kane. So.
Yep.
It would have almost been, all right, his name, two names popped into my head that should have been the Kane role. One was Luke Harper.
No.
Only because the guy can talk, so why not? But, I mean, I guess authority-wise it wouldn't make much sense, but they could have worked with it. As soon as Bray Wyatt set him free, he joins up with the Authority at SummerSlam, Survivor Series.
Yeah, he go clean cut.
He doesn't even need to go clean cut. Well,
or just kind of try and slick him up.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
It would be kind of funny get him an actual, like, kind of ill-fitting suit or some shenanigans like that. What, we're going to have some hijinks and some shenanigans with this.
No, I'm laughing at the background noise. I don't know if anyone else could hear it or not. That sounds satisfying, whatever's going on over there.
Yeah, that is what a boxer sounds like when he's thirsty.
But no, you nailed it with the Luke Harper thing. Slick his hair back, cover up the bald spot, put the beard even in like a little, like put the beard down into like a little trimmed up, like corporate beard.
Or just do the gum band in the beard just
Yeah.
so that it's all together.
Yep. Yeah. And then just, and it says Bray Wyatt pretty much ignores him anyways. So
Right.
you could just be like, hey, this guy's actually really smart. Bray Wyatt said exactly, if you want to pull Bray Wyatt into it, be like, yeah, he set him free and this is the path he chose and he's shown a lot more than we expect. So then that way, as the tension rises between Seth Rollins and Luke Harper, if you want to put it that way, then Triple H can get in there and be like, what's your problem? And the exact same storyline, but have some sort of payoff with somebody new. Like, I didn't realize.
And be able to build into a Seth Rollins Bray Wyatt feud.
Just something. Or hell, put Eric Rowan in that role. Because Eric Rowan supposedly was a genius, right?
That's what they went with for about the 4 weeks that he jobbed on TV. I don't know what they're doing with him now that he's not on TV.
Just he wasn't the best, but he wasn't terrible. Man, do you remember how hot that Shield, although I'm sorry, both of them, the Shield Wyatt family matches were?
Yeah.
And that wasn't all Bray Wyatt versus the Shield. That was the Wyatt family. So
Yeah.
just I don't understand. And because it's not like Luke Harper is getting any younger. So
No, but I mean, again, he's another one of those guys that even though he just made it up, he's in his mid-30s too, or early 30s.
yeah.
He was around the indie scene for a long time, and honestly, the last character I saw him play in Prime Wrestling was pretty similar to the character that he's playing now.
Yeah. I still wish he had the gun shirt on, the gun store shirt on. I mean, there's no way that they'd allow that, but it's still. What always
Yeah.
cracks me up about Luke Harper are the old pictures of him, where he's got the short hair and like no beard.
Oh.
Just you do an image search, like wow, that was a young man at one point, a very young person. So, but yeah, but Raw's just a redundant mess that, even not having watched for a while, I didn't feel like I missed it at all. It's like, yeah, I just like it's supposed to be a roller coaster ride every week. Well, you're not supposed to jump out of the roller coaster after it's gone downhill, and then jump back on when it's going uphill, going, oh, I didn't miss anything. Like, no, you missed all the twists and turns in between the next hill. Oh, I did? Yeah. Oh, that sucks. I don't have that feeling. It's like, oh. So it was just a downslope, and then, oh, I didn't miss a thing. Okay. And that sucks, man. That Roman Reigns thing, to tie back to that. That Roman Reigns 24/7 took you to WrestleMania, and it reminded you how good that event was.
Oh.
I mean, no dumb skits, no dumb speeches. The wrestling was good. The angles were pretty damn good. And it was like, wow, something's really gonna change here.
No, just at the pay-per-views. That's when they, because that's, I mean, and Chris and I talked about this last week. They're just writing for the pay-per-views now. But then the thing about the pay-per-views is the fact that it is mostly the wrestling now.
Yes, and I get to go back into the WWE Network thing. That's what the network could be for, is have Raw be some wrestling. And I understand they want to do angles on TV, and that's good. That's mix them in. But you can also have angles, on the network after that you can replay on SmackDown. Or after SmackDown, you can replay them on, like, before Raw, on the Raw pregame, something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it almost seems like the YouTube stuff, after Zack Ryder got it started, just kind of died off. Like the guys in the back.
You didn't mean it. I know you didn't mean this, but you said the Zack Ryder stuff, and then you followed it with died off. No, they killed that dead. Anyways, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I will feel eternally bad for that guy. Like I still like at this point he essentially invented the WWE network and he's getting just pooped upon.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Zach, for bringing us to a whole new line of thinking. Go fuck off.
Yeah, it's like here we're gonna put you at an angle with our biggest star. You're gonna look like a total shithead during it, and then you're not gonna be seen again, except for, getting squashed here and there. Wait, what? Thanks. All right, you just shut the door on the way out. I mean,
Yep,
I got no aspirations
absolutely.
that Zack Ryder was gonna be on a John Cena, world title level. But really, I mean. Oh well.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just another argument that we end up coming back to. There's nothing in the middle. It's just like you're at the top, you're a rising star, or you're in some weird limbo area.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that good point because I was thinking the main event for the pay-per-view is for their top guys, if you want to look at it that way. I mean, I basically because Dean Ambrose has nothing to do right now. And then Seth Rollins is in a feud with Randy Orton, and then they have to keep Roman Reigns involved. So all right, we'll throw them all four in. And, at least they're doing something with Bray Wyatt still. Whether or not you like the feud with Ryback, hopefully that'll help elevate Ryback a little bit.
Yeah, it'll definitely give him someone different to work with in the ring.
And hopefully somebody start like physicality wise that he'll be able to hang with. And I don't know if you listened to Sheamus on Jericho's show. The new
Yeah,
one,
I don't think I listened to him.
he was really astute in saying when Sheamus saying when I was a face, I was bigger than the heels. So there was no drama involved. Like, so now that I'm a heel and I'm beating on the faces now that they're smaller, there's some drama involved. Well, I think the same can be said for Ryback as a face. He hasn't been in the ring with anybody his size. I mean, what was his feud? Who was his feud before he was in a feud with CM Punk? What other big feuds has Ryback had? Like,
Nothing really.
I'm not even being a smartass about it. Just.
I mean, they were the long ago types when he got the big push. Like he, since he's come back from the injury and they've painted him as a baby face, he hasn't done that much. Again, just because they have no middle. They don't have anyone really for him to go other than Big Show and Kane.
Yeah.
There's just, like you said, there aren't any big guys. And when he was squashing two jobbers, I mean, I guess that kind of thing worked back in the day, but it doesn't really work for me now.
Well, the jobbers they had him in there with were so bad, though. I mean, outside of Bobby Beverly, sorry. I mean, but even then, he looked like you or me in that ring versus Ryback. I mean, but I think that's kind of a problem with a guy like Ryback or some of these guys. Like, they may be miscast. Like I understand, like Ryback you know, he's got the cool Feed Me More chant, and he can sell merchandise that way, but just his look and demeanor is set more for being a heel.
Yeah, you know? The whole big guy thing hasn't really come into play that much because it's him being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't completely work as a babyface. You know, The Rock ended up getting around to being able to get away with it. But he got around to getting away with it.
Yeah.
Not came right out of the box and got away with it.
Yeah. Well, he also been, when he turned heel face, whatever, face, he also had some, you know, some guys that were at the top that were, you know, comparable size, someone that could hang with him.
Yeah.
You know, physical wise. Well, right now there's just no one there for like a Ryback, and I think Bray Wyatt is a deceptively big guy.
Yeah,
you know,
and I mean, I think that, well, and we're just talking about him now that we mention it, but Luke Harper did kind of feud with him with Ryback,
yes.
And I just, but it was such a foregone conclusion by the time they wrestled, Luke Harper had been jobbing to everyone. So, and they didn't really, Harper hasn't had that much of an extended feud where it's paid off at a pay-per-view other than Dolph Ziggler, I feel like.
Dean Ambrose at Extreme Rules.
Oh.
But that was such an awkward match. I mean, it started, they get in a car, and then they end it with throwing chairs, and it's the only extreme part of it, I guess, but... But yeah, but even, I mean, honestly, even Luke Harper, at least, but he, at least he's cast as a heel, so he can hit on the small guys. So,
right.
I mean, Cesaro's a big dude, but even he doesn't look that big compared to, like, a Ryback, or a Sheamus, even, for that matter.
Uh-uh.
So, I think shifting around some stuff like that would be good, and, like, I think a natural feud with Ryback and Dolph Ziggler, you know, based on size, kind of what they're doing now with Sheamus and Ziggler, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it was an interesting listen with Sheamus when he was talking about the physicality part, to where when I'm a face and I'm beating on these smaller heels, well, it didn't really do me any good. So I was really, really hoping to come back as something different. And it's paid off. I mean, at least for Sheamus, I think it's paid off. I mean,
I don't think he's anywhere different on the roster, but it should pay off in the long run just because he's, like you said, he's better cast that way. Or he's just better cast that way.
Yeah, and hard-hitting, and he was talking about hard-hitting matches and that sort of stuff, and, you know, he could have some good ones with some of the other big guys. Roman Reigns would be one. So, I mean, I don't hate Roman Reigns, so why not? Just something different.
Sign me up for that one.
Yeah, but but I guess we'll know once the pay-per-view comes around, because I'm going to go back to not watching, so I'll have to... Well, actually, I don't know now if there's not a whole lot on TV anymore to take my time up. I mean, all the shows are ending next week, I believe, so no more Flash, Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., trying to figure out who else ends.
Oh, my gosh. Now, that's something that we cover after, too. But,
yeah. But, we've been going for an hour.
Yeah.
So, episode 300 was just like pretty much all the rest of them. So.
Yep. I'm just going to do, since it's still Columbus Beer Week, I decided to have some Sideswipe Pixelated Sun. It's a hoppy wheat beer. And it is quite tasty. It isn't, like, super hoppy, but when you have a wheat beer, you don't need a whole lot of hops to for it to be hoppy. And this one works quite well. It's a nice little balance where they have enough in there for it to be noticeable without being overwhelming or bitter.
Hmm. And it's called Pixelated Sun?
Yes.
All right. Who's it by again?
Sideswipe Brewing.
Oh, okay. All right. Is that a local one, or is that...
Yeah, since it's the Columbus Beer Week.
I'm an idiot. I know. You just said that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Local.
So, yeah. cool. I'm glad I played along with that one like a dumbass. they had Charlotte Beer Month, and then it was like Beer Fest every weekend and stuff. I'm like, I don't know how anyone can afford to do this, like monetarily or physically. Because it took me a week to recover from the Moo and Brew Festival. So, but
yeah, all right. I'm sipping it out one beer at a time.
Yep.
One at a time.
Well, I'm going to hit the plugs. So, make sure and follow us on Twitter, Facebook at Stunt Granny. You can download our podcast off of iTunes or whatever podcast platform you'd like. Just look for Stunt Granny. And that way you get this show. You get We Watched Off. You get OPA. And anything else we might do. So that's about it. I'm going to get out of here. 300, so here's to another 100 more. And, I mean, come on, let's be reasonable here. We'll go with 100, and then another, and then another. So,
yeah. If we actually keep counting them, we'll get there eventually.
Well, until we start having guests. I mean,
that's the problem with having other titled shows. This one's number won't go up as quickly as it once used to.
True, because there's been 27 We Watch Stuffs. What, 14? No, 20 OPAs, right? 24?
Huh? 43.
There's 43 OPAs?
Yeah.
Holy shit, alright. And then...
we'll record 44 later this week. That's it. Ken and I are now on the drive to officially a year's worth of material.
Wow, it just seems like yesterday.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing. I thought we started around the NFL draft last year. Because we skipped some weeks early on. We've been much more consistent recently.
Huh. Well, I know she and I have skipped a few, but we wouldn't be near that many. So, but anyways, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for going through 300 of these, and who knows how many of the other ones. I'm going to get out of here, and I'll let Kevin take us out.
Okie doke, grandkids. I think that we've taken everything out here at Granny Maze, at DeFrango11, and of course, most importantly, at Stunt Granny. Have a good night.